Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashta Prayesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Omaginam Timirandasya Agyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shugurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Kshita Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shah Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sakagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sakagana Lalita Shri Vishaktam Svitam Shah Namahom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanye Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Khyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bantu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishibhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Today is the first day of our Radhashtami Katha I believe, and I am seeking your blessing so that you'll be able to speak something of glories of Srimati Radharani. And to invoke all auspiciousness, I would like to start with the lecture given on Radhashtami Day by Srila Prabhupada in 1973. I will be just reading the excerpts from this class. And it's great class. He explained the importance of Srimati Radharani in our worship of Krishna. The aim of life, is to satisfy Lord Krishna. Krishna is pleased through Radharani. Therefore, we don't keep Krishna alone. No, we keep Radha Krishna. First, you have to worship Radharani. Because she is his pleasure potency, he always absorbs in serving him. When anyone comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, she becomes so pleased. Oh, here is a devotee of Krishna. And she immediately recommends that person. Krishna, here is a devotee, and he is better than me. This is Radharani. I may not be a devotee. I may be a most fallen rascal, but if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Therefore, we should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of directly offering a flower to Krishna, put it in the hands of Radharani. My mother Radharani, Jagannatha, please kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna. And Radharani says, Oh, you have brought a flower, Krishna said. Patram pushpam palam toyam yame bhaktya prayachhati. If one offers me with devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. But don't try to offer to Krishna directly. Offer through Radharani. It will be very much appreciated by her. She lovingly transmits our service to Krishna. This is our philosophy, to please Krishna through Radharani. And as today is the auspicious day of Radharani's appearance, we should offer Pushpanjali to her and pray, Radharani, kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. Today is an auspicious day. Worship Radharani very nicely and be happy. It's so nice introduction. And actually, giving the essence of our mood. This is the mood of our sampradaya. We worship and serve Krishna through Srimati Radharani. And what is the object of our service? Actually, we don't develop our love of him. Rather, we develop our love of their love. Because Krishna is always already served by the perfect love, love of Srimati Radharani. And he doesn't need our love, our tiny something. What can we add to this highest love of Srimati Radharani? But he is most pleased when we serve his love of Srimati Radharani and Radharani's love of him. This is the way to please them. And this is also requires the restored heart to understand it and to follow it. Otherwise, it's fathomless, even this mood of our sampradaya. And the essence of any relationship, that's reciprocation. How I know that there is any relationship between me and someone? There will be some reciprocation, right? And this reciprocation should be equal or at least match so that it will be satisfying, right? Whatever is given and whatever is given back should match, right? So Srimati Radharani giving Krishna so much of this transcendental affection, so to be able to reciprocate with this greatest affection of Srimati Radharani, Krishna manifests his most perfect form in Vrindavan. There is no more perfect form of Krishna in any other places. It's only in Vrindavan. And this form is totally manifested by the love of Srimati Radharani. That's her role, to manifest all sweetness of this form. In other places, form of Krishna is not like this. In Dwaraka, he is called perfect. And in Mathura, he is called more perfect. And only in Vrindavan, he is called most perfect. And how this most perfect form will differ from other form? In greatest sweetness. That was the prerogative of Srimati Radharani only, to reveal all the sweetness of Krishna to the world. That's her main role. So why this form is not so perfect in any other places? Because the love of the devotees in these places is not so intense, is not so deep as Vraja Bhakti. We have to understand this. So this perfect form of Krishna we can find only in Vrindavan. And Krishna himself is unable to understand love of Srimati Radharani to him. It's just fathomless, even to him. And therefore he comes as Lord Chaitanya to understand this love and to experience this love. Because to understand means to experience. It's always two sides of one coin. And Krishna is so much bewildered with the power of this love that he tries with all her power of deliberation to deliberate on this nature of the love of Srimati Radharani. And this greatest deliberation is given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions that only Krishna understands the nature of love of Srimati Radharani. And only Krishna can reveal this love to us. Why? Because he explained, only Krishna is the reservoir of all qualities and all potencies and all pleasure, with which he can understand her personality and the depths of her love. Only Krishna's personality match to the love of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, only him can understand her love. And only him who can reveal this love to us. This is a statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he mentioned also there is another personality who is the same capacity to understand the love of Srimati Radharani. And this is the spiritual master. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And also he mentioned that the part of Krishna, there is another personality who understands this love and who can reveal this love. And who is it? This is a spiritual master, who is a direct, very intimate servant of Shishirada and Krishna. Therefore, by the power of this service, he can understand their relationship and reveal them to us. So today, we will try to hear about this greatest deliberation and to discuss it by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself and by the perfect spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives whole deliberation of Krishna on the power of Radharani's love in Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, its fourth chapter. That's confidential reasons of Lord Chaitanya's appearance here. He says, first verse which I pick up, it's a very famous verse. The nature of love of the gopis is devoid of any trace of lust. It's faultless, bright and pure like molten gold. That's how Krishna values the love of gopis. Why does Krishna compare this, the love of gopis, with the gold? Because the gold is generally considered to be most beautiful and most precious out of all the metals, right? And in the same manner, the love of the gopis Krishna values so much because it's so satisfying, so pleasurable for him. It gives him the highest pleasure because of its unique qualities and its beauty. And he is also mentioned that this love, not just gold, but the molten gold. What does it mean for us, this molten gold? And then he mentioned the qualities of this molten gold. It's bright and pure and faultless. Only this molten gold can be bright, pure and faultless. Ordinary, normal gold, not like that. So, what is the meaning of this gold to be molten? Right. We know from chemistry, at least from the science, that the temperature of the melting of the gold is very high. It's 1067 degrees Celsius. It's very high. And in the process of melting the gold, what happened? All the impurities which may be in the gold, they just burn and evaporate naturally because the temperature of the melting of these impurities and evaporating of these impurities much lower than the point of the melting of the gold. Therefore, only this molten gold is supremely pure. Thus, it's something here for us also to liberate, something here for us to think of. Why our consciousness still may be impure, and still there may be not so many signs of transformation of our consciousness visible. Srila Prabhupada compares our consciousness with what? With iron rod. And he says that this iron rod should be put in what? In some fire. Yes, and what is this fire? to transform our consciousness. What is this fire? Devotional service, that's our sadhana. So to transform our consciousness, that's called iron rod, full of impurities, we have to put it in the fire of devotional service. But this particular fire should have some special feature. This fire should be big enough to consume, to make this iron rod red hot as fire itself. Then only all the impurities which contains there will evaporate. Otherwise, it's just impossible. So fire of this devotional service, the fire of this sadhana should be so big to be able to make it transform this iron rod. Otherwise, if you just have and take the little candle with a small flame and put it beneath this iron rod and trying to make it red hot and transform it, what would happen? Nothing. Nothing. So for transformation of the consciousness, we require some furnace and big fire in this furnace. It should burn. It should be like the universe. Then only the transformation will be soon. And then only the transformation will be visible. And then only the process will be effective. Otherwise, it may take millenniums after millenniums after millenniums of this trying and trying somehow transform our consciousness. And something very interesting comes up here. What is this main impurity that usually contaminates the love? It's lust. And Krishna mentioned it in this particular verse. Krishna speaks here about this lust and how lust is defined. That's material egoistic desire to have something, to gain something out of this material worldly love affairs, right? But why Krishna tells about absence of this lust in purest love of the gopis? Isn't it understandable by default that because gopis are on the transcendental level, the love is so pure that it just cannot contain any lust? Why didn't Krishna mention it? It states here specifically, particularly, there is no lust in their love. Why? They are already transcendent, and he knows this. Why then he tells this? Yes, they are totally transcendental. Their love is so sublime, we cannot understand it. But in the eyes of worldly moralists, it may look like lust. Therefore, Krishna makes here the special statement, no, there is no lust in their love. No. Then, if it's not the lust which will manifest this love, then what is it? How this love will manifest itself? How Gopi manifests their love? If it's not lust, and if it's not in the lust, then how? And this is explained by Shukadeva Goswami, 10th canto, 29th chapter. He describes how Gopi ran to Krishna when they just heard the call of Krishna in the sounds of his flute. It's a great description, and so much we can derive from it. He explains, Vraja Striya Krishna Grihita Manasah. This is a very famous verse, and this is a very famous line. Krishna Grihita Manasah, Vraja Striya, the Manasa, mind of this Vraja Striya, of these ladies of Vraja, was Krishna Grihita, was stolen by Krishna. That's how Krishna usually acts. We have to give our mind to him, otherwise, anyway, he will steal it. And it was even stolen before they have heard the Krishna's flute. And he explains here that as soon as the gopis heard the sound of Krishna's call, because this sound of Krishna's flute, actually, that's a call of Krishna. Please come and be close to me. And as soon as they heard this wonderful call of Krishna, that's irresistible, very strong and captivating desire arose in their heart, and it's technically called samutsukah. Very also important word, samutsukah. Irresistible desire, just go and to be with Krishna. That's something which you cannot even control. It's out of any control. Whatever you can try to do about it, it cannot be controlled. And this samutsukah, the greatest eagerness to be with Krishna, reveals some other quality which inherent in the gopi's love. What is it? Fullest, total detachment from anything else. It goes hand by hand. The greatest desire to be with Krishna, greatest urge to be with Krishna, greatest attachment to Krishna, and detachment from anything else. And this greatest attachment, this is the glory of the love of the gopis. They cannot think of anything else. They cannot even have any time to think of anything else when they hear the call of Krishna. And this is proof that detachment of the gopis is the highest. And Srila Shukadev Goswami explains actually that there were no greatest or greater saints in the history of the mankind than the gopis. Because as soon as they heard this call of Krishna, they immediately left everything. They were so detached. And this is the quality of great saint. He detached from anything material. Therefore, the gopis were greatest saints. Why is the greatest? Because there is no saint who can just drop everything and just run answering call of Krishna. Sometimes we also get this detachment or this mood of detachment, but it will manifest in our hatred of the world or in our neglect of the world. But that's not that detachment which gopis have. We want sometimes to leave everything and just surrender to Krishna. But that's not what gopi felt towards Krishna. And here Shukadeva Goswami makes another statement, that the real strongest detachment means full strongest attachment for Krishna. That's the total definition, that's the limit in the definition of this detachment. The full, the strongest detachment from this material world is the full attachment to Krishna. Nothing to add to this. If you have this full attachment to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, there will be no any other item, no any other subject in this material world to which you will be attracted anymore. Right? And this particular mood of the gopis when they heard this flute play of Krishna, and when this samutsukah, the great desire, eagerness to see Krishna arose in their heart, it's called gopi bhava. It's very special mood that only gopis have. So this gopi bhava means very special, overwhelming, innermost desire to become close to Krishna. Gopi bhava doesn't mean anything else. I want to become close to Krishna. This is gopi bhava. Is it understandable? This detachment of the gopi is unrivaled because they don't think of anything else at the moment they hear the sound of Krishna's call. And this detachment is something very important for us to understand and to follow, to develop. Because at one particular point we have to leave whatever we have, to become detached, to run to Krishna, to be with Krishna. this is unavoidable. In our hankering for Krishna, first thing, to reach Him, to detach ourselves from what we consider to be ourselves. This is first thing. And when a person leaves home and takes sannyasa, usually what does he do? He gathers all his relatives and friends and inform and gives last instruction how to live without him, right? But when Lord Chaitanya left his home to take sannyasa, he didn't inform his wife, Vishnupriya, about it. What to say about thousands of his followers? He didn't care of it. He didn't do it. And how? He left everything. He left his old mother. He left his wife, who was 16 years old. They just got married. For the second time, he got married. And it was Vishnupriya Devi. And he left. And how he left? It was winter. It was night. It was freezing cold temperature. It was freezing cold. He might choose something more pleasurable for, you know, for the living and for renunciation, say summertime or daytime. No. He left to take sannyasa, and this time was picked up as most austere for taking sannyasa, winter and night. And he left. And how he left? He jumped into Ganga. Freezingly cold water of the Ganges, night. He crossed the Ganges by swimming, and it was on Nirdoyagat. And Nirdoyagat means no mercy. To go to Katva and to take sannyas. So to teach. Why he took sannyas? To teach what Gopi Bhava is. Only for this purpose. Anarpita charim chirat karunayava tirna kalo samarpaitum unnata ujvala rasa svabhakti shriya harim purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipitak sadah hridaya kandare puratava shachinandanaha. This is a great blessings of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, followed by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. May this Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the son of Srimati Shachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chamber of our heart, of your heart, actually. He is telling of your heart. He is giving blessings. He is invoking this transcendental presence of Lord Chaitanya in our heart, who descend in this dark age of Kali to give anarpitam whatever had not been before by anyone. And what is it? Unnata ujvala rasa. Unnata means most sublime. Ujvala means dazzling, effulgent rasa. That's Madhurya rasa. But it's very special Madhurya, because previously Madhurya rasa was also given by Madhvacharya, by some other saints. We understand what Madhurya is. But this is very special rasa, which is only given by Lord Chaitanya. This is Raja Bhakti, Madhurya of Raj. And in special mood, which is called Viraha, separation. So this is a gift of our Sampradaya. And he came to give this Shriya, this greatest wealth of bhakti to himself. So Madhurya bhakti, that's the gift of Lord Chaitanya. And there is only one place in the universe where it's available. That's our Sampradaya. In no other places it's available. So this gift can be taken. This gift can be accepted if you have this desire. Mm. And what is this call of Krishna for us? We mentioned that the flute of Krishna created some call. Actually, through this flute, Krishna called the gopis, please come. Please be with me. What is this? For us, how does anyone call us? With what? With the words, with the voice. So this call of Krishna, it's in his voice, in his words. To be able to hear Krishna's call, we have to hear his words. So call of Krishna for us, as Acharyas explained, it's in the Krishna's words. And I just remember when I have read for first time Bhagavad Gita, I got this impetus, just very strong desire to do something about it, to run somewhere, and to do something about this great knowledge, although I couldn't understand so much of this wisdom at that time. But still, I could feel this urge to do something, to run somewhere, and to do something about this. It was so enlivening. And that's how Krishna's word affect us. Krishna's words are so powerful and so overwhelming. They totally attract the living entities. And if we don't hear these Krishna's words, then our heart will remain dry and empty. And then if it's empty and if it's dry, then how this most perfect, most emotional, pure bhakti will arise there, if it's dry and empty? Because the life of the heart of the devotee is emotions, spiritual emotions. How Lord Chaitanya was behaving. It's like totally emotional. So many emotions, different emotions, ekibanas of different emotions. And everything is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Shiva Shukadeva Goswami explains further that there are some levels of our identification, how I identify myself in this world. And to be able to go to Krishna and to be with Krishna, to be attached to Krishna, we have to give up all these identifications, level by level. There are four of them, as he mentions them. So in our hankering for Krishna, first time that the living entity has to do to become detached from what he considers to be himself, from all his identification. I am this, and I am this, and I am this. So Shukadeva Goswami explains there are four levels of these identifications of the living entity which has to be given up, which have to be given up. So first level is I am my activity. I am a doer in this world, isn't it? I do. Every day I do something and I am so attached to it. This is my activity. I am this activity and I am also planned for this activity. All right? That's what's happening in our mind sometimes when we chant our japa. Do we notice sometimes we're just planning and planning and planning? Everything is there. The plans for the activity, what I will be doing the next and for the next day. And it seems to be, it's actually the grosser, the most gross level of our attachment. I am my activity. But it's not even easy to give it up. Even this gross level of our activity, it's not easy to give up. But the gopis gave up everything immediately, on the spot, all the engagement, whatever they were doing. As soon as they heard the sound of Krishna's call, they were milking cows, they were serving their husbands, they were feeding their children, they were dressing, they were bathing, they were eating, decorating themselves. Everything would just drop on the spot, right away, without even thinking. That's the first level of our identification that should be given up to be able to reach Krishna. And the second level, as Shukadeva Goswami explained, the second level is I am my relatives. It's my extended me. They're a byproduct of my body, right? or I am the byproduct of their body, I am my relative. Is it easy to leave your small, little, tiny child forever without even thinking how this child will live without me? Is it possible? You are mothers. It's just impossible how you live. Just small piece of your love and completely dependent on you. And you are now going to leave it forever. Is it possible? No. But not for the gopis. They left even their small children without even consideration. They didn't have any time to consider how the child will live without me. That's the second level we should be giving up in our hankering for Krishna. It's the second level of our detachment. And the third level, that's our dharma. I am my dharma. What is dharma? Duty. I have to do it. I am my duty. Because the dharma is something which makes me good in my own eyes and in the eyes of the society, right? We want to do right thing, to be right person, to be good person for ourselves, for my family, for my society, for my friends, right? What is it? To be compassionate, to be truthful, to be clean, to have knowledge. What else? All these things, they comprise dharma. That's the principles of dharma. I want it. And in the Vedic society, dharma is the foundation of life. Without dharma, there is no life. Dharma makes the sense in life, and dharma is the reason for the living entity to live here. And dharma also mentioned in the shastras as the goal of love, right? Dharma, shastra, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, right? So the dharma is the goal of life prescribed by the shastras. So if you leave your dharma, if you refuse to follow your dharma, what happens? You are lost for the society, you are lost for the goal of life, and you are lost for the life itself, isn't it? You become untouchable. Nobody wants to associate with you. So it's most horrible thing which may happen with the living entity from the worldly point of view, to be rejected, to be lost for the life, to lose your life. But the gopis were able to give up even their dharma for Krishna. That's the third level of our detachment, third level of our identity. And the last level, I am my body. That's the fourth level of my identity. It's most difficult to live up. It's most difficult to give up this attachment to my body, right? Because it's most treasured possession which every living entity has, isn't it? It's impossible because I'm a servant of this body. I'm trying to worship this body because it gives me so much pleasure. It's the most pleasurable object of my service, my body. So how I can give it up? But the gopis gave even this attachment to their body. They were eating when they heard the call of Krishna. When they were eating, and they once they just drop eating. No more eating. They just run. They didn't even care to wash their hands, to rinse their mouths, to clean their body after eating. Can you imagine? We are going on the altar to serve Krishna, to worship Krishna, and here we are with the khichdi on the hands, with the mouth full of, you know, smeared with the remnants of the food. Can you imagine this? The first thing that you have to do on the altar is to make full achaman, to do full achaman, to be clean, to be neat, to have clean clothes, but nothing is like this. In this eagerness of the gopis to be with Krishna, they didn't even care about washing their mouths and the remnants of the khichdi on their hands, and they just run to them. And what else is there? And it's not so horrible. Okay, I can interrupt my eating. I can't even not wash my hands after, but not to be dressed properly, it's too much. It's too much. I cannot do it, I just cannot. But the gopis, they overstep even this last barrier between them and Krishna. And my consideration is, if I am not dressed properly, then how I can serve Krishna? How I can serve Krishna if I am not dressed properly, right? Is it right? Without proper dress, how to serve Krishna? Every pujari knows you should look nicely, you should be matching to the nice dress of Krishna. That's a joke, of course, but that shows something, right? And the Acharyas explain that in their great hankering for Krishna, the gopis, they put their lipstick on their eye, and they put their kajal on their lips, and they put their earring in their nose, and they put their ankle bells on their hands, and the upper dress on the lower portion of their bodies, and vice versa. Can you imagine all this band of these gopis and this strangely, very strangely looking, and all the decorations, all the clothes are totally disarrayed, but despite of this band of strangely looking women just rush off to Krishna. Without any consideration how they look, they already left all these levels of attachment to our identities. That's how detached we should be. That's something for us to understand. That's the glories of the gopis love. This is this eagerness which is called samutkantam. And that's only gift of our sampradaya. Nothing else is given here. This greatest eagerness to be with Krishna and to stay him and to be close to him. We can get this here only, if we desire. That's according to our desire. Everything is being given according to our desire. And if we just develop 1 millionth part of this strength of the gopis' desire to be with Krishna, then our life is successful. Thank you so much. And if you have any questions or comment. Shrimati Radharani ki jai, Ananta Koti Gopi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premananda.